What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another live episode of the King's Court Podcast presented by RateCrushers.com. And look, again, guys, I can't be doing this show alone, and especially with the March Madness tournament coming right around the corner, I had to go and reach out to someone big, someone that knows their stuff. So making their King's Court debut, Rafael Barlow of NBADraftJunkies.com, as well as the Locked On Podcast Network. Rafael, thank you so much for joining me on the show. How are you doing today?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for inviting me on, and you know, it's my debut. Hopefully, I do a good job. You know, it's always the first time's a little different.
Hey, man, look, on this show, I feel like the fans. I've been doing this since probably, I don't know, 2012, 2013. Like, I feel like a lot of the fan bases here has really, like, followed me through all my ups and my downs. Like, they're very caring. They're very loving. And if, as long as you got that insight, they're excited. And I'll be honest with you, in my top five of most views on this channel, I think two of them are about draft and having draft experts on. So people love these types of conversations. And I'll be honest with you, Rafael, I'm going to be someone, I want you to talk to me like someone that has never even seen a tip in this 2022 college season and really just get your full insight on this. So let's go ahead and jump right on in here. And let's talk about the Juwan Howard thing first, because I think if I don't talk about that, I'm going to have some of my friends, a lot of these viewers saying, what's his thoughts on this? So if you don't know, Juwan Howard, coach of Michigan, has been suspended for the remainder of the season due to an altercation that happened at the end of a game where it was an assistant coach, right, that he touched up?
Yeah, well, the joke is saying that his fingers are long enough that he slapped two people with one slap.
He slapped two people with one slap. And then I even saw, I think that he said he was protecting himself, or the story kind of changed in a way to where he was just trying to move us. When you saw all this happen, you heard the news, what were your initial thoughts?
First thing I thought was, man, not again, because I think he got into it, not physically, but he got into a little altercation last year with the coach from Maryland. And I literally just had this conversation with my dad probably like 10 minutes ago. I literally had to get off the phone with him to make it for this podcast. And he was asking me the same thing. And I mentioned, I was like, you know, Juwan is clean cut. You know, he comes from that Michael Jordan school of being clean cut. He always wore the suits and all of that, but he's still from the South Side of Chicago. And it seems like he still got a little bit of that Chicago in him, because he was quick to
slap. He was fast.
And I don't know what was said. I mean, I've seen like some videos saying that there's audio just from the outside looking in. I just thought that even if he was upset that coach called a timeout, some of these unwritten rules of basketball, even like baseball. Look, man, if your team is not good enough and another coach is trying to get his guys at the end of the game some run, that's your fault for not being good enough. Just come back the next time. So I'm one of these people that don't get mad if a guy does a windmill dunk with 2 seconds left in the game and his team is up 20. Yeah. Let him get his moment. So I guess Juwan was upset because of the timeout. I don't know what was said. Whatever was said, I couldn't imagine it being that bad where you just go – slapped a guy, and I guess Juwan just forgot where he was at. He thought he was back home in the South Side of Chicago. So that's my thought on it. I don't think he should get fired. I mean, we've seen coaches get like DUIs and all that type of stuff,
yeah,
and not face the same suspension. But it's just a bad look for Juwan and for Michigan and the Big Ten.
I guess you kind of just answered it there, but. You know, my partner Leo Biaz and I hop over to his channel, the Basketball Zone channel, occasionally, and pop in over there. You know, Juwan Howard's like a big name for him as like a potential coach that he would like to see the Kings at least interview to come up to the next level. Do you think like situations like these are just gonna hold him back to possibly make that step, or do you think this shows more like passion? Like, hey, you know, like you said, there's been coaches that have done way worse that have kept their jobs, or you think this can jeopardize something like that?
No, I mean, I definitely think Juwan is a guy that NBA teams are going to want to, you know, go after, especially because he played in the league and he's like respected enough as a coach, but cool enough to relate to the players. So I mean, I definitely think that he's someone, again, that you'll see in the NBA one day, depending on how much success he has at Michigan. But I, for some reason, I don't think it will hurt him. Number one, because he's a guy that is tied in with the Miami Heat culture. And usually guys that come from that tree usually get multiple opportunities. I mean, you look at Fizdale, who's, you know, he had the opportunity with the Knicks and Memphis, and now he's, I think he's with the Lakers. And, you know, something happens with Vogel this season, and Fizdale could be in the, you know, the front seat again. So, no, I think Juwan is, I think his reputation is good enough to where this won't have too much of an impact.
Rafael Barlow joins the Kings Court podcast, making his debut. He's from NBADraftJunkies.com as well as the Locked On Podcast Network. And actually, Rafael, you know, it says on your Twitter that you're the founder of NBA Draft Junkies. And, you know, what made you want to start covering and start scouting the league? I know you have a video on your YouTube channel as well, which you could promote here. But, you know, what made you want to start going down this path?
Honestly, since I was a kid, man, I just loved the NBA draft. I thought I was going to be the next Kenny Anderson. And that was like the first draft that I really, really remember watching. I used to collect basketball cards. So I was that guy that just knew what college every NBA player went to. And then I just kind of fell in love with the draft. And then I graduated from college and I just knew I was going to get a job working in the NBA right after college, and that didn't happen. And I look up and like 8 years had went by since I graduated college, and then I just took the leap of faith and decided to pursue working in basketball full-time, and was trying to find like my niche and how I could make a name for myself. I started doing video stuff. Then I started training guys. I got lucky. I ended up with a few NBA clients here and there. And because I was like the nerd, not like I had like this great basketball resume from playing. So I was like the guy that, you know, broke down their statistics and analytics and then said, hey, let's work on this. And then 2016 Draft Express, which is kind of like the go-to for all things NBA draft. Once they merged with ESPN, I noticed that they weren't producing the same type of video content on YouTube. And I saw that there was like a void in that space, and I wanted to be the guy to fill the void. And, you know, now, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that have NBA draft YouTube channels, and they break down videos and scouting reports and so on. But it was just a way of using my YouTube channel and NBA Draft Junkies as a live resume to show like I can do this. Cause, you know, like you can't apply for a job on like teamwork.com and get a job as a scout, you know. It's tough, so you got to be creative if you want to get into that field. And I, it's not like I had a father that was, you know, in the NBA or that had some in, so I just kind of had to you know, just kind of, instead of waiting for a door to open, I had to kick down my own door. And just thankfully I'm starting to get some traction now, and I love it, man. Like I just telling a friend yesterday, my Mondays and my Fridays are the exact same. And, you know, it's definitely a blessing to live where you're like, I don't even know it's Friday, you know?
Exactly.
Friday.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, that's the long story how I got started.
That's awesome, man. Hey, you gotta keep chasing those dreams. And I'm still chugging on. Like I said, I've been doing this for a few years. I've had some great guests on, including you now, which, you know, this is pretty much awesome that you're on here. Cause like I said, I want you to talk to me like I'm someone that hasn't even seen a tip this season. And I was going over your videos on your website, just the insight that you guys provide on NBADraftJunkies.com. I even listened to a few of your episodes on the Locked On Podcast Network. Like, you're so insightful on all of this. And so I'm so excited to have you on. And you know what, now let's just jump on into the season, because I've been looking at a lot of the brackets, mainly at CBS, and it looks like they have Gonzaga as like their consensus number one heading into the projected bractology that they have going on. Where do you see Gonzaga? That's Chet, their number one projected pick, right, Chet?
Yeah.
Is that the guy? Is that the team that's to beat right now with the target on their back heading into this March Madness tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I thought so at the beginning of the season. I thought that they were going to be as good as they were last year. I was even thinking that they may I mean, just go undefeated. But they did have a very tough non-conference schedule, which kind of balances out because the West Coast Conference isn't considered one of the stronger conferences. It's not like a Power Five conference. So the loss to Duke and then the loss to Alabama. And then, I mean, they beat Texas early on, but I mean, I think it's pretty much a lock for them to be a number one seed. Whether they're the consensus number one, well, I mean, I guess so, unless, because I imagine they're going to win their conference tournament. They probably haven't lost that in a while. And then the other teams, like, you know, whether it's Duke or Kansas, I mean, they have a little bit more competition, but I think Gonzaga will end up as the consensus number one.
And what is it about Chet Holmgren that has him as the projected number one pick? Like, a lot of people like to hear comps. I read that he's maybe a Porzingis type of player, but you tell me, what makes him that projected number one right now?
You know, it just depends on whose mock board or mock draft or big board you're looking at. I mean, I think there's three guys that are pretty much equal as being the projected number one pick between Chet or Paolo Banchero from Duke and Jabari Smith from Auburn. It like literally it's fluid. It changes every week. I had Chet at the beginning of the year, then he kind of fell off a little bit, then Banchero, then Chet had like this crazy run, and then Jabari had a two games where he made 11 out of 15 threes. So it just depends on who you're talking about. But what makes Chet such a special talent is that he's 7'1". I mean, he's skinny. Now he can hula hoop through a Cheerio and he can do push-ups under a door crack. He's 7 foot, 195 pounds. So he's rail thin, but he is super skilled, can handle the ball. Last I checked, he's shooting 46% from three. And it's about three or four attempts per game. So it's not a huge volume of attempts, but you know, a 7-footer that can knock down a three. He's a very good rim protector. Like I said, he can handle the ball and is just a rare combination of size and skill that we haven't seen. And I think, you know, the comparisons to Porzingis are body type. I think he's more fluid than Porzingis. I think he's a better rim protector than Porzingis. The Porzingis comparisons kind of hurt him in some aspect because everybody says, oh, or Porzingis is skinny, and they believe that his lack of strength has played a role in all of his injuries. I've seen some people try to compare him to Kevin Garnett. I've seen people try to compare him to Kevin Durant. I mean, he's just tough to compare because he just has a unique combination of size and skills and shot blocking, and there's even debate on which is his best long-term position. But I like him. I like him a lot. I don't see him falling past number three. And like I said, a 7-footer that can shoot and protect the rim and handle the ball, you don't see those too often.
Who's that team that you think gives Gonzaga that the fits? That team that is probably you I would say even the Miami Heat type of team right now for this college season.
Well, I mean, like a scrappy Alabama team beat them, and the game was actually in Washington. It wasn't necessarily a home game for Gonzaga, but it was in Seattle, which is, you know, pretty much a home game. I think just a scrappy, really athletic team could probably give them some fits. We saw what happened last year when they played Baylor. Baylor just had a bunch of dogs. I mean, just a bunch of hungry, aggressive dogs. And then, I mean, if there is a knock on Chet, even though he is tough, I don't want to make the assumption or people that don't know think that he's soft because he's, you know, really skinny. He does have some dog in him. He competes, he's tough, he's got like this competitive fire, but there are times where he has issues with physicality just because he's so long and lanky. So I think a really physical team could give Gonzaga some issues, and you know, a physical athletic team, I think, would give them a challenge.
Again, Rafael Barlow joins us here on the Kings Court presented by RateCrushers.com. If you guys need that coverage, and make sure you're not overpaying for any coverage, go to RateCrushers.com and let them know you found them here through the Kings Court. Jabari Smith, Rafael, has been someone that a lot of people, especially in the Kings area right now, as the Kings are sitting at the bottom of the Western Conference, is someone that they're eyeballing if they can find their way into the top five once again of the upcoming draft. Can you tell me a little bit about him? What makes him such a high-end prospect?
Well, I think his dad is a former Sacramento King, if I'm not mistaken. His dad is Jabari Smith, I guess, senior. He probably wasn't known as Jabari Smith senior when he played for Sacramento. Mm-hmm. But Jabari Smith is a great shooter, 6'10". I think that at best case scenario, we're talking about maybe like a Chris Bosh type forward that shoots a lot more threes than Chris Bosh. So I guess a modernized Chris Bosh. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can score in the post. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really high on Jabari coming into this season. I thought he was going to be, you know, a top 10 pick, a one and done prospect. But in my notes, I wrote that he was like allergic to the paint. I didn't think that he posted up enough. And I thought he was basically a guy that was just going to shoot a lot of threes and play like Channing Frye, which is not a knock on Channing Frye. I think he played like 13 years and shot over 40% from three. But as Jabari has gotten stronger, he's shown a little bit of post game. He's shown some competitive fire. He's shown some defensive versatility. And not only is he's not just a good shooter, he's a great shooter. I mean, this is a big that's 6'10", that shoots threes in transition, shoots threes coming off action plays, pin downs. And I think he would be a good fit in Sacramento. I think that with Fox and Sabonis, I mean, I think they'd be trending in the right direction if they can land a top three pick.
Does Auburn go far in the tournament, you believe, with him as their lead guy?
I think so. I mean, Kessler Walker, or is it Walker? Walker Kessler.
Walker Kessler.
I mean, the two last names throw me every time. Walker Kessler is... I mean, he's a tremendous rim protector. I mean, he has more blocks than I'd say the majority of the teams. And with him and Jabari, I mean, they make a pretty tough front line that I think is going to be tough for teams to beat. But that's why we love college basketball. It's one and done. So it's not always the best team. It's the hottest team. And but I mean, I think they have at least four guys that are NBA prospects on that team. And but, I mean, we just saw them lose to Florida this week, this past weekend. So you just never know what happens.
Out of everyone that you've talked to and you've got to scout, whether it's overseas or here in the college, on the college game, or maybe even in the G League, who's that guy that you're really starting to see pick up that momentum heading either into this tournament, or you're just hearing like teams are really starting to watch what he's doing before summer comes and that draft comes around?
That's a good question. I mean, I think for the most part, the top three picks in the draft, or even like you could say the top four, if you consider Jaden Ivey the fourth pick, mm-hmm. I think those guys have been consistent all season. As far as making a name for themselves that's rising, I mean, I'd have to say like some guys like there's a guy, Orlando Robinson at Fresno State. He was not someone that I saw as a potential first round pick coming into the season. I think he's positioned himself to where he could hear his name called on draft night in the first round by the commissioner. There's a couple of overseas players that I think are helping their draft stock. Alondis Williams from Wake Forest is a guy that I really like. He was at Oklahoma last year, didn't play a lot, transferred to Wake Forest. And, I mean, you can make a case and say he is the best point guard in the country right now. Some may disagree. They may get it confused between the best prospect. Because he's 23, I think it'll be held against him on draft night. But he's been playing phenomenal basketball, whether it's scoring and passing. Kind of reminds me of a poor man's Deron Williams.
Uh-oh. We lost Rafael Barlow. We're going to look to get him back here on the Kings Court podcast. If you guys haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Man, we were getting into it here, talking about prospects that we need to be watching into the draft. I'm going to see if I can get him back in right now and see if we can get this figured out. Can you click the link again? Yeah, guys, this has been a very interesting conversation. He does have Gonzaga as the projected number one, like most have as well. Hearing about Chet Holmgren saying that they are comparing him to Porzingis is very interesting, but that he's super skinny. He's someone that is very small. As he said, he's so skinny he can hula hoop a Cheerio, which is a great line. And yeah, man, it looks like we have Raphael coming back on in. He's entering into the green room in just a moment. We'll have him back. But again, some interesting stuff. And while I have this moment with you guys on a one-on-one, I remind everyone that this show is brought to you by RateCrushers.com. If you guys need mortgage insurance, car insurance, motorcycle insurance, boating insurance, anything you guys need, make sure you're not overpaying for that coverage. Go to RateCrushers.com and let them know that the King's Court sent you. This show is also presented to you by FanDuel.com. That's right, guys, FanDuel.com, whether you guys are on the sports book. And by the way, are you guys watching my show, NBA Best Bets? Are you subscribed to NBABestBets.com or .substack.com? If you're not, do that already. But FanDuel.com, sportsbook, or making daily fantasy lineups, use promo code KingsCourt as they match up to $500 of your very first deposit. If you guys haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. We are brought to you by youtube.com/SackKingsNation, as I have Raphael joining in once again. There he is. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Sorry about that. I have no idea what happened. Sorry about that. I don't know if that was on my end or what.
And no worries. It gave me time to read off the sponsor reads. You know what I mean? Gotta pay the bills somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Sorry about that. Sorry.
You were talking about Hardy and a lot of these other guys, and someone that you said is in your opinion is the best point guard possibly.
Alondis Williams from Wake Forest. I mean, yeah. He's having a tremendous year. And I was saying before I got cut off, and maybe it was. They didn't like the internet didn't like the comparison, but I was saying that he reminds me of like a poor man's Deron Williams with his size and footwork and his ability to create his own shot and can mix it up between playing bully ball and being a great passer. But he's 23, or he'll be 23 on draft night, so I think that will be held against him. But he's someone that I could see being like a late first round pick or early second round pick that outplays his draft position, because a team is going to take a less productive player that they think has higher upside over him.
If the Sacramento Kings, this is a Sacramento Kings podcast, right? So let me ask you this, and we can wrap the show up from here. A player that someone the Kings should keep their eye on, and keep in mind that the Kings are probably going to be in the lottery. They're four games back of the play-in spot right now, and it's going to be really hard for them to get there with only 22 games left in the season. It's obvious this team is going to need shooting around De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis. What types of shooters, and let's say from pick 7, your projected pick 7 down to 14, that you believe the Kings should be targeting right now, that's just a pure shooter, either from the 3-guard spot, maybe even that stretch 4, who is that in your opinion?
I mean, I think the ideal fit for the Kings would be Jabari Smith, because he at the minimum, I think that he projects to be a lights out shooter. I think Chet could help. I think Chet and Sabonis would be a pretty interesting front court.
Anybody overseas that you've seen?
As far as shooting, pure shooters, I mean, there's a kid out of Serbia, Nikola Jovic. It's easy to get it confused with Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
I think he's a solid shooter, but I don't think that he projects to come in right away and be a knockdown shooter. Benedict Mathurin from Arizona could be a good fit. I think he's your typical 3-and-D wing. I think if Barnes is still on the roster and they're going to play Barnes at the 4, then I think he could slide in at the 3. It's kind of weird because Sacramento, you felt like they had shooting with Hield and Halliburton.
Yeah.
And then now those guys are Indiana. You're like, okay, actually, you know what? Where is the shooting cat?
Yeah.
So I think that's probably like their main, you know, like the main issue that they would need to address. And then if there's like in the later rounds, if they make a trade, I think Ocha Agbaji from Kansas, he's shooting about 46% from three on like 6 or 7 attempts per game. I think that he could be available. I don't know where Sacramento's picking at in the second round, but he could be available early in the second round. And he's a senior, so I think he's ready to come in and contribute right away. Those are probably the best shooters, at least guys that are shooting the ball well in college. I mean, there's always going to be someone that is not a great shooter now, but over time they end up developing into a pretty good shooter. But those are the two guys or the guys that I feel like that are ready to come in and contribute right away.
Rafael Barlow, NBADraftJunkies.com, the NBA or the Locked On NBA Podcast Network. Thank you so much, my man, for joining the show. Before I let you go, let the fans out there know where they can find you online and what they can be expecting from you leading up into the NBA draft.
All right, first of all, thanks for reaching out to me. Anytime you want me on as a guest, just hit me up.
Heck
I'll be
yeah,
on.
man.
Hopefully, for your sake, we're not talking about the Kings in the lottery again. I know it's been like a long streak. But yeah, you can find me at Barlow, BARLOWE500 on Twitter. Locked On NBA Draft. I'm there every Monday and Thursday, NBA Draft Junkies. And I just picked up a new title as the Director of Scouting for NBA Big Board with Chad Ford, who many people know from ESPN. I have articles 3 times a week there. Easy to find. My DMs are open, and I love to talk basketball. So just hit me up.
Rafael Barlow, man, I'm gonna take you up on that offer, man, especially when the draft time comes. Unfortunately, I am gonna need you again because the Kings are definitely headed for the lottery, and I'm gonna need that insight.
Stay positive, man. Stay positive.
I mean, four and a half games back, Tennessee's kind of far away, but you're right. Positive thinking, positive results. Again, you guys go follow him on all social media platforms at Barlow 500, the NBA Podcast Network with Locked On, NBAJunkies.com. Again, I appreciate you so much, my man. I've been your host, Vince Miracle. You guys can follow me at VM Center. If you guys haven't done so already, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe button as well as hit that like button so we can get this thing turning and grooving. Appreciate all the guys' support. Shout out to our sponsors, RateCrushers.com as well as FanDuel.com. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, peace.